Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, deep concern about the new COVID variant. We'll find out what we know so far about B11529, and Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue will join us shortly. New details emerging this morning on the MICA compensation scheme. Our reporter Barry Lenehan has the details. Chef Brian McDermott will be here to add a bit of spice to your life when he tells us how to make some classic winter warmers. Brian O'Connell has found a 17th century house for sale at a really good price. The only problem is you'll have to put it together yourself. And of course, we'll have a taster of Callan's Kicks, and the gathering will dissect the big stories of the week. Our text number, as always, 51551. Email today, cb@rte.ie, or on Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. Now, in the last few minutes, the Israeli Prime Minister has said, we are currently on the verge of a state of emergency regarding the new coronavirus variant. The World Health Organization is meeting shortly to discuss its response to the new development, while the Dutch government has joined the UK in banning all flights from South Africa from noon today. Well, I'm joined now by Kim Roberts, Assistant Professor of Virology at Trinity College Dublin. Good morning to you, Kim, and thank you for joining us. So the World Health Organization is expected to give this variant its own Greek name today, but will you talk us through what is so different about this variant from the Alpha and the Delta and the others we've seen before?
Yes, thank you for inviting me on this morning. So I think over the next few days we're going to hear a huge amount of information about this virus. And I think one key message is that there is still a lot that we don't know about this new variant. And so we have to bear that in mind as we're hearing all the discussion. This new variant is of concern because there are an exceptional number of mutations within a key viral protein, that spike protein. And that spike protein is the one that allows the virus to enter cells, and so changes there can affect transmission. It's also the main protein that our immune response acts against to block infection. And because of that, it's the protein that is used in the vaccines. So when we see lots of changes in that protein, it is of concern. And some of those changes are in the areas where antibodies bind, where our immune response acts against the virus. And so there is a potential that the vaccines might be less effective against this new variant. And that's one of the main causes of concern. But I think it's really important, sorry to just carry on, but I think it's really important that people realise that we're not back to square one in terms of the vaccines with this, that the vaccines will still give a degree of protection and likely a good degree of protection. We don't know the effects yet. And so getting vaccinated, getting the boosters is still the best way to protect yourself against severe infection.
So when you hear about the international response, and I outlined some of it there, Israel saying we're on the verge of a state of emergency, the Dutch and the British stopping flights from parts of Africa, do you think that that response is needed at this point?
It's difficult. When you have a new variant that emerges, acting quickly is going to have the best impact on reducing dissemination. But banning flights is quite a blunt tool. At the moment, there is still a lot of variation around the world in the sequencing capacity or the ability of different countries to detect new variants. And so I suppose one of my concerns is that if we just restrict our control measures right now to banning flights, that's quite a blunt tool. What we need to be doing is making sure that we are detecting new variants as they come into the country.
What do we know about the PCR test's ability to pick this variant up or to detect COVID if you have this variant?
So I don't have the information about that. Cillian de Gascoigne would be the person to talk about that. But it will be something that everybody is going to be testing. So I think it's reassuring to know that, you know, we're at a point in the pandemic now where there are scientists around the world who are plugging these changes, these mutations in the virus into their experiments. And that's all the way from making sure that the PCR tests are working correctly, to understanding how this virus may be altering or evading immunity, and understanding how it might be changing transmission. So over the next few weeks into months, we'll get more and more data about what we can expect from this new variant. So I would expect that right now, the testing labs around the world are checking that that their systems are up in place to be able to detect this new variant.
And is it known yet whether you have any additional protection if you've had the Delta variant in the last few weeks or months?
So the way that our immune response works is that it keeps on learning as it sees different variants. So whether or not you've had an infection with COVID, or whether or not you've been vaccinated, that has started the process of teaching your immune response to detect this virus, and it will still detect this new variant. Now, it might mean that we might see more breakthrough infections. We might not. We still need to. We still need more data. But whether or not you've been infected, or even better, if you've been vaccinated and you've had a booster, then the level of protection should mean that you don't have severe infection.
Now, we had been warned about this, hadn't we, particularly by the World Health Organization, which has said time and again, if the developing world is not vaccinated, we are going to have the emergence of a variant. Do you agree that that's what's happened here?
Absolutely. Any time we give viruses the chance to replicate, to spread from person to person in large numbers, it is inevitable that new mutations will arise, that we will get new variants. And the level of virus around the world at the moment is very high. So I think a lot of scientists were expecting that a new variant would appear. Now, it might not be this one. We don't know enough about this variant to know yet whether or not it will become disseminated around the world. But there are so many mutations that we do need to take it very, very seriously.
A couple of other developments I wanted to ask you about. Mask wearing in children. We know that children over the age of 9 now will be asked to wear masks, Kim. Is that a wise decision, or should it have gone further?
So I think it's a fantastic decision. Children at the moment are the most vulnerable because there are no policies in place to protect them. So bringing masks in for younger children is fantastic. I would have liked it to have been to have gone a bit further, and maybe that we're asking children over 7 to wear masks. And I think it's important for parents to realise that NPHET are indicating here that the risk-benefit of children wearing masks has changed. There is so much of this virus around at the moment that it is of benefit to kids to wear masks to prevent transmission of the virus if the kid is infected, but also prevent the chances or reduce the chances that the kids could get infected themselves. So as a parent of young kids, I see that change as indicating to me, okay, so if my kids are going on public transport, if my kids are going into shops, I will ask them to wear masks even though they're younger than 9. But that's my choice as a parent. I think it's fantastic, though, that there is a move for putting more masks into schools. I would like it to go further. You know, we have data now in the schools about ventilation. Schools are collecting, or should be able to be collecting, information about how well their classrooms are ventilated. And so in poorly ventilated classrooms, I'd really like to be seeing improved ventilation and HEPA filters coming in.
And in your opinion, Kim, what type of masks should the children be wearing?
So at the moment in Ireland, we don't have recommendations other than wearing face coverings. And I think that is a limitation because not all face coverings are made equal. So any face covering is better than nothing. But ideally, if you're wanting to reduce transmission from an infected person, but also reduce the chances that you might be infected, you need to wear a snug-fitting mask. Ideally, it would be something called an FFP2 mask or an N95 mask. Now, those masks, when fitted properly and snugly on the face, reduce the particles that you breathe in by up to 95%. So that's a really significant difference compared to if you just have a one or two layers of fabric that is loosely across the face. What is important is whatever mask you're asking your kid to wear is that they feel comfortable in those masks. So the mask should fit them comfortably, ideally with as few gaps as possible. So those kind of duckbill masks tend to move around less and be more comfortable for people to wear.
And I think that's a really good way of describing them, because people will have seen them out and about, I'm sure, if they don't already have one themselves. Now, we had the news yesterday that the EMA has approved vaccines for children aged 5 to 11. How important is that?
So again, I think this is fantastic development that children are going to have the same access to vaccine protection that adults are having. So I will be signing my oldest kid up as soon as possible to get the vaccine, and I hope vaccine rollout for the kids comes as quickly as possible. Vaccination for kids can have a benefit of multiple layers. So it's about reducing the chance that your kid's going to get infected, and of course, that might mean that they have mild or no symptoms, but if they're not vaccinated, there is the chance that they could have severe infection or the chance of developing long COVID. So getting your kid vaccinated protects them from those risks. But also, children are able to transmit this virus, and so giving children the vaccine also reduces transmission within the community and to other members of the family.
Kim, thank you very much for your time. Kim Roberts, Assistant Professor of Virology at Trinity College Dublin. David Nabarro, I see in the last few minutes, of course, a frequent guest on this programme from the World Health Organization, says on the new variant that it is appropriate to be concerned about it. And we'll be talking more about this with the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.